Hi, I'm Madeline.
I'm Nevia.
And I'm Jenny. We're your hosts for this episode of Women's Rights. This season, we are exploring the story of women's ordination in Community of Christ, a church with a 250,000 members and formerly called the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This denomination began ordaining women in 1985, and on the 35th anniversary of these first ordinations, we're taking this season to look back on the journey towards women's ordination in Community of Christ. To do so, we've interviewed women ordained in the first decade after the 1985 policy change, women who went on to be leaders in Community of Christ.
Each episode in this series investigates a different topic, and today we're going to look at congregational ministry, specifically the first sacraments these women administered and other important exercises in their local ministry.
First women ordained to Community of Christ's priesthood were often supported by their families, friends, and the church's more progressive congregations who encouraged their calls. But within a largely supportive community, many still had disconcerting experiences with others who questioned their right to the priesthood as women. Linda Booth recalled one of these encounters, which has been mentioned before, but helps to understand the adversity faced in local congregations.
I'm going to tell you an experience that was very disconcerting to me. So when women started receiving calls in our congregation, there were about five or six, maybe seven women who received calls. And I remember being so excited as I began to hear about their calls. And because I had had that experience, I wondered about myself. And so the pastor of our congregation called me and asked me to have lunch with him. I thought, my goodness, maybe he's going to call me to the priesthood. So we sat there during lunch, and instead of calling me to the priesthood, he said, Linda, I believe you've been running for priesthood. And as a result of that, I'm not calling you. And I just sat there and I cried. And I said, I'm sorry if there's been anything I've done to disturb you. That has never been my intent. And when I came home, I told my husband, Doug, and he was furious. And he said, you can't give a non-priesthood call. That's just not right.
She felt hurt and confused about what her role was within the church.
And it was time to take the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, I couldn't reach for the emblems because I felt so broken.
Other women, like Becky Savage, had much less openly hostile encounters, but still noticed markedly different behavior from a few people just after her ordination.
When I was first ordained in the congregation, the first congregation here in the Kansas City area, we had one gentleman who was very opposed to women in priesthood. The first time I preached, he got up and left. That's kind of like, okay. But most everyone else was supportive. I had a very supportive family. So when you have a very supportive family and spouse who's extremely supportive, those things just outweigh many others.
Next, we asked, what did it mean to you on a personal level to administer your first sacrament? Was it different from what you anticipated? Many women were uncertain and worried about how to perform their first sacraments. They started questioning the whole process and became overwhelmed by their opportunity to take part as an officiant. However, upon administering a sacrament, they felt a stronger spiritual connection with God.
So there were many sacraments to learn as a new priesthood member. I think communion was probably the first that I did. And like I said, it was daunting because I would have thought I would know exactly how to do it. And I didn't. It was just like, oh my gosh, how can this be?
Gardner's experience with questioning her first sacrament, performing communion, was similar to Carolyn Brock's first sacrament of a baptism. Carolyn Brock, unlike Jane Gardner, was serving as a priesthood member in Kenya.
And I was going to be part of the three-person team who was going to do that. So I remember being very worried that, is this real? Do I have the ability to do this? How do I know I'm connecting with God? Or I don't even know these people's names. I don't speak their language.
Brock's nerves led to her many questions on whether she was prepared to perform the sacrament. Booth dealt with her worries by writing out her sermon to prepare for her first time preaching after being ordained.
Well, I had planned the service for 4 weeks, and for me to stand up for my first time as a newly ordained elder and preach was a little daunting to me, and I wanted a lot of time, and I like to be prepared. And so I remember sitting down and writing out my sermon, putting on 3x5 cards on Saturday. While the kids played, I stood in front of the mirror and I practiced with the 3x5 cards. I went to church on Sunday morning. I put the cards in my pocket, I thought. And as I'm standing there before the service, which we typically do to have prayer before the service begins, I put my hand into my pocket to feel the assurance of those cards, and I had left the cards at home. And so I remember walking down to the pulpit and sitting there and literally trembling because this would be the first time I spoke and presided in this congregation. And while they loved me and supported me, I was very concerned.
Despite the support and love from her congregation, the honor of performing her first sacrament brought Linda Booth much stress. Booth ended up forgetting her note cards at home, but she felt that God helped guide her through the entire sermon. After that, she never used prepared cards while preaching again. Becky Savage felt similar stressors when holding the plate during her first time serving communion.
I can remember the first time just serving communion. When you watch communion being served, it just looks so simple. But when you're the one holding the plate, there's a whole different experience about, okay, now how close do you hold it? And do you help people? How do you help people, et cetera? So the first time you do things, trying to figure out your particular role as the minister providing the actual sacrament is a different experience and very much a learning experience.
Charmaine shares a similar experience in serving her first communion to Becky when performing her first sacrament.
It was something that I was doing for the sake of the body and not for my own romanticized ideas of what it should feel like. So that was probably a really good beginning to think about what ministry is about, because, you know, it's too easy for it to be about us and, you know, how we feel about ourselves and all of that.
These ordained women were humbled in this position and could feel God's power throughout the act of performing the sacrament. Jane Gardner remarks on some interesting experiences she had after being ordained. She and many other ordained women were able to baptize their daughters and nieces.
I got to some cool things after I was first ordained. I was able to baptize my daughter. So that was an interesting ability to be able to do something like that. I actually helped ordain my husband to another priesthood office.
Carolyn Brock had a depth of spiritual experiences when performing her first sacraments and noted the energy she felt between God and those with whom she was ministering.
I felt very much this kind of flow of energy down through and over me and up from the person, and kind of like a layer of warm life energy or something. I don't know how you would describe it, but it was I felt very deeply moved and almost to tears at times of just sensing that God knew each one of these people, and they might be the anonymous poor to most people.
While the first of the sacraments administered by these women left lasting impressions, all of the women we spoke to for this project have had other memorable priesthood experiences since then. Their positions in their local congregations allow them to have many meaningful interactions with those around them that they've been called to serve. For Gardner, her ministry for her congregation involved much work as she was asked to juggle the duties of many roles.
So in the local congregation, I was doing things like I was the worship leader or the song music leader. I was teaching children. I was preaching. There were Sundays in our small congregation when I was actually sitting at the organ playing, and then I'd have to go up to the podium to preach and then go back to the organ and play.
Brock, who had ministered in Kenya for a while during her early ministry, found that certain sacraments she performed felt uniquely special.
I think in the Africa years, any time that I engaged in teaching or leading or sacraments that involved touch in particular, there was always this very humbling sense of presence and blessing, and also an awareness of people's potential.
Until 1994, the RLDS Church practiced closed communion, meaning only those baptized in their church could partake in communion. However, with a policy change in 1994, all Christians, regardless of church membership, could take communion. Savage told us about an experience involving a longtime attendee of her congregation after this policy change.
We'd had a spouse of one of our members who had faithfully sat through all of our Sunday services, including our communion, and had the plate pass him by every first Sunday of the month because he was not a member, although a Christian. And the first Sunday when I could offer him the plate of bread and wine was a very meaningful experience. Just that ability to bring inclusion of a very faithful member of our congregation was so significant. And that's congregational ministry. And for he and his wife and him both, and for all of the members of the congregation, it was made a special day for him because we could all bring him into the congregation as a whole. It was a very meaningful day.
The dutiful service offered by these women to their local congregations and family affected both the women administering the sacraments and those being administered to. Gardner, reflecting on the time spent serving, said,
"It's not easy, but it to me, it really is what the congregational ministry is all about, is being available to the community, to offer sacrament, to offer support."
The mixed reactions women often got when they began their work in the priesthood could be disheartening, but the experience of performing sacraments as members of the priesthood gave so many of them a distinct feeling that they were fulfilling their duty to God. Gwendolyn Hawks Blue, who is currently the co-leader of the Diversity and Inclusion Team in Community of Christ, spoke about the sense of responsibility she felt during her first sacraments administered.
It came with a deep sense of responsibility to represent God's love in that situation. I would think that would be an opportunity for all of us who are members. As a priesthood member, it brought a deeper dimension to be all that I could be in that role as a servant. To know that for some particular task involved, I was the representative for Christ, is amazing and tremendously, tremendously humbling.
This sense of responsibility and deep humility felt by Hawks Blue was not unique. All the women interviewed for this project testified of the importance of their callings. Marge Tro, who served for a time as the Commissioner of Women's Ministry in the 1970s, dedicated her focus to maximizing the ministry that could be done before women were ordained in 1985.
It was not about me and trying to get me ordained and so forth. It was about broadening the ministry that occurred in the church.
This theme of selfless service is echoed in Shavala Smith's response when asked about what it meant to administer her first sacraments.
I think just that whole idea that it reinforced the idea that this is about service rather than about what my own feelings are. And that's been helpful in lots of ways, just because I think we're a society that's kind of addicted to feelings and equating feelings to reality and actually performing the sacraments means you're recognizing a different reality than just your own feelings at the time.
Remember back to the incident Booth shared about her non-call to the priesthood. Here is how she finished that story.
And I went home and I sat on my bed and I was crying and I was crying out to God. And all of a sudden these words came to me and it was like, do not allow your hurts and frustrations to separate you from the people that you are called to serve. And those words remain in my mind because I've pulled on them many times in my life, depending upon them.
She shared with us what it means to her to hold the priesthood.
Carrying priesthood is just not something cool to do or an honor that you've been given. Priesthood is a gift and calling from God for the benefit of the people. And so in order to focus on what the people need, you need to be connected to a divine power so that you can lead in such a way that there will be a benefit, but also a transformation, not only in the congregation, but in the lives of the people you serve.
While the first experiences of sacraments and priesthood calls for these women may not have been completely stress and pain-free, they testified that the most important thing when it comes to ministering sacrament is using God's power to strengthen and meet the needs of those around you. Next episode, we will be expanding on the topic of women's experiences in ministry and community of Christ to discuss experiences of denominational ministry, stories from the national and international levels of the church. That concludes our podcast for today. Special thanks to Gwendolyn Hawks-Blue, Charmaine Chavala-Smith, Linda Booth, Marge Trow, Jane Gardner, Carolyn Brock, and Becky Savage. Also, thanks to Dan Bennett, Travis Grandy, and Yasmin Eisenhower of the Smith Learning Research and Technology team. Thanks to our professor, David Howlett, for making this possible. Thanks to Rachel Killebrew of Community of Christ Library Archives. And thanks to the Andrew Mellon Foundation that supports public-facing student writing at Smith College.